Hello there.
Alice, have you seen the next big trend in water bottles?
No, I don't drink bottled water.
Okay, well, Jesus Christ. Well, the newest rage on TikTok and Instagram are these Stanley Cups, which every time I see it, I'm like, why are we all talking about hockey so much? It took me a long time to catch on.
Is it a certain kind of cup?
I think Stanley is a brand of cup, maybe, or maybe it's the model name. I don't know. These water bottles that are like all the trend right now are $50 each. In a time where eggs cost $10 a dozen, who has $50 to spend on water? Who's got $50 water bottle money? How?
Do they have $49 of water soaked cash inside?
God, I fucking hope so, but also gross.
Imagine how dirty that would be. And drying out $49, like,
nasty.
You'd probably rip one or multiple, and then you're like, shit, all this money ripped.
Anyway, I just think that that's weird, and I keep seeing it everywhere, and it really took me an unusually long time to figure out that everyone was talking about water bottles and not hockey, and that's where I'm at. We're spending $50 on water bottles, but, you know, the economy the way it is right now, things are so expensive. Everything is so expensive. Has stuff like gone up for you where you are? You've probably noticed more of like a drop in cost going from Chicago to not Chicago, but I don't know, man. It's getting out of control.
Yeah, stuff's more expensive, but I also shop at Walmart Neighborhood Market.
Ugh.
Which makes a huge difference. Like when I compare it to the H. Tussie, which is Harris Teeter, that's what I call it. It's like $1, $2, $3 cheaper. It's insane. Especially vegetables. That's what's extra nuts. They're like double the price at the H. Tussie.
Yeah, my thing with vegetables is that I feel like produce in general hasn't changed too much, but maybe I just haven't noticed it because, like, fuck vegetables. I don't know. Like, I mean, don't literally. That's gross, but...
I love vegetables. I want to know what's in that water. Like, is it from Waterworld and Kevin Costner has blessed it? Is it from the lost city of Atlantis? Is it from
a fountain of youth?
Tears of angels?
It's weird.
Is it my tears? They're worth a lot of money because there aren't that many except when I'm driving home from a hair appointment where I hate my life.
Yeah, Alice is dead inside, so there's no the tears are hard to come by, but poor Alice had such an ordeal this past week with her very long, very beautiful hair that unfortunately she didn't ask for long, light-colored hair, and that's what she got, and that's weird.
I mean, I'm glad it was kept long and didn't have a surprise cut.
She didn't just, like, chop off 10 inches of it.
Right?
It's like, oh, is this a new way to cut hair to make it longer?
Does this make sense to me? No. Yeah. Hair snafu. Luckily, another place could remedy my situation. But I was crying in the car on the way to the Walmart Neighborhood Market. Let's bring it back. Bring it back around.
Yeah. So you got to show off your hair to all the people of Walmart, as one does. You didn't get it fixed at Walmart, right? You went, like, somewhere else?
No, the Neighborhood Market's just a grocery store. Oh,
okay.
But yeah, I got to wear this hair that I hated into Walmart, and I was looking at box dyes for like 15 minutes, and I was like, ooh, this navy black looks cool. And then I thought, my boss was telling me, I was like, hey, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna get a box. And she was like, no. I texted my hair person too, don't do it. So I was talked out of getting the box hair dye, and then I called a place and was like, do you have time for a color consult, please, baby Jesus? They did. And they were like, oh, yeah, this is all wrong. And I was like, ah, I knew it. I should have said something. And they were like, okay, we can get you in 3 hours if you want to come back. And I was like, yes, thank you.
So you had to pay twice for getting your haircut.
Yeah, but it was fine.
And now you've got a new place that you can be loyal to because you know that they will do a better job. But I'm sorry that got messed up. Dudes probably don't get it. Getting your hair colored is so expensive, like when you get it done mm-hmm. professionally, which is why if you can get a box and pull it off yourself at home, cool. If you can't, you just have to throw down like $200 to $300 to have your hair cut and colored if you're a woman. And that is some hot ass horse shit. I hate it so much. How much yeah. it costs. And then they're like, oh yeah, it costs that, but now you have to tip 20% on top of that. I'm like, just fucking charge me what it costs. Why do I have to now? I hate it so much. I hate it.
You know what I don't hate so much?
What don't you hate so much?
That this is Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour, episode 92. OMG. We are getting up there. We've got two big milestones coming up. Episode 100 is going to be way not coming up. It's going to take us forever. And it's January 21st. I'm Alice.
I'm Laura. Welcome.
Hot dog. All right. Happy hour. What are we drinking?
Ooh, I'm going to open mine on mic and show you because it's cute.
Coors Light. What a cute little thing.
Do you see this? It is a...
Lil Buddy.
Lil Buddy. It's a half pint of beer. It's just a light lager. Hopewell is a brewery that's right down the street from where I live. It's amazing. But yeah, they make little half pints of... Little buddies Ooh, of their lager.
I love it.
We call it half pint in this house and not half pint because one time a million years ago, before Rose knew what the word pint was, she called it a half. She was like, oh, look, it's a half pint. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, Rose, no.
That's like one of my friends when we saw Sweeney Todd in the movie theater for the first time. And yeah. The Sacha Baron Cohen barber guy had yeah. this like blue outfit on, and my friend was like, "Ooh, that's a big moose knuckle." So I learned what that was. And then later he was like, we were walking out and he was like, "I know what I'm gonna be for Halloween." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "I'm gonna be that guy, but instead of blue, it's gonna be gold lame."
Oh god.
Instead of LeMay. I was laughing so hard.
Like, wait, how did you say it? How do you think
gold
it's...
Gold lame.
Yikes.
All right. So I am being really boring with my drink because I decided to do a belated dry January.
Boo.
So I know. I bought a jug of the Arizona green tea.
Okay.
So that's what I've got.
Got it. My like cup just broke, so I think I'm going to... I was going to pour it into my little mug so it would stay cold, and I'm still going to do that, but... Whoopsies.
Ah, just drink it out of can.
No, I don't want to do that because it's too little and I've got big hands, so I will drop it or something.
Pinky up.
Stays colder in this.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. Housekeeping. Here we go. We got a new review on Apple.
Oh,
evidently
yay.
We're useful on road trips, so thank you for listening and writing a review. We love them.
Yes, we appreciate that. Thank you so much, and happy to be along for the drive on your road trip.
Mm-hmm.
We also had listener Billy, who I think shouted us out on Twitter the other day because he was like, "Oh, I just started watching Yellow Jackets. Like, thanks for this." Finished it and had to message me and be like, "Thank you so much for this recommendation."
Yes, Yellow Jackets is so amazing.
We got one.
We added more to the hive. Another mm-hmm. citizen detective.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Have you taken the time to get on the subreddit for Yellow Jackets yet to like see the breakdown of the trailer?
I haven't. And the reason I haven't is the citizen detectives in there are so good that they figure a lot of shit out.
And spoil it.
Well, it can't be spoiled because no one's seen it. But I'm like, I think I'd rather not have all these ideas in my head going in and just yeah. read like the aftermath of each episode. So far I've avoided it.
That's fair.
Gosh, so fucking excited.
Very excited. And of course, Simone, what's her face, who played Queen Brea in Kenobi, is now the adult Lottie in Yellow Jackets. And we're pumped for that. We love a Star Wars crossover, number one. Number two, she was great. And I can't wait.
Woo! And that's the second Star Wars crossover.
Yeah, because we had the girl that plays the young Juliette Lewis character.
Yeah, young Natalie in the mod squad.
Yep. The mopeds on Tatooine. Oh yeah, and then the last housekeeping thing I have is I'm back with the Geek Buddies doing reviews of the Bad Batch season 2. So I was with them for episodes 3 and 4. We did those review the last couple of weeks. I had to miss the first week because I still had COVID, which was fun, but back with them now. And then I think there's a chance I may have to miss this week, but I'll be popping up every now and then for some Geek Buddies reviews. We can do some deep dives into episodes because we got to get through the recap on tap section today. We may not go into as much detail, you and me.
Huzzah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Caravan of Correction. We found one.
Yeah, the actor that played the old man in episode 2 of The Bad Batch, the actor's name is Hector Elizondo, and I just kept saying his last name wrong, and I felt stupid as I was listening back to the episode, because I said it wrong, like, probably 3 times. And I was like, cool, that's embarrassing. His name's Hector Elizondo, and he's awesome, and that's how his name's pronounced, I'm pretty sure, so... Whoopsies.
I don't know why this tea is making me burp so much. It's not even carbonated. I haven't had anything carbonated since yesterday, and I'm extra burpy.
Gross. We started buying this new soda at my office that I love so much. It's like black cherry flavored, which you'd think would taste like cough syrup, and it doesn't. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, like black cherry Diet Coke is pretty good. Or Pepsi.
I didn't know that they made that, but I don't drink Diet Coke, so that's why.
Oh, yeah. I love Gross. It. The Walmart brand Diet Coke is the best.
And it's so cheap. The great value one.
Yeah, it's called Sam's Choice. And anyone who loves Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, Sam's Choice is so good. Give it a whirl.
Solid dupe. Got it.
And it's super cheap, as one would expect.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, shall we get into the news?
The news. Okay. So, live action Thrawn, there are some things up for debate.
There was a lot of discourse on Twitter this week about our beloved Grand Admiral Thrawn. A lot of back and forth about whether or not he is really a bad guy or if he should really be considered a villain. And people who've read books maybe have a different opinion than people who haven't read the books or who don't like the books as much. I don't know, but there was a lot of back and forth about it, and I'm very happy to have missed all of it. But I think it was brought up because of this article or this news that came out, which is an interview from a publication called Express that Lars Mikkelsen did, where he was asked point blank if he has been cast as a live action Thrawn in Ahsoka, and he basically had to like evade the question. And what every publication in the world took that to mean was, let's post a really clickbaity, misleading headline that says that Lars Mikkelsen isn't going to be Thrawn. They didn't say that. He didn't say that he's not going to be Thrawn.
Yes, but he did say, I haven't had the offer, but yes, sure. Typically, when you don't have an offer, it means you're not going to do it. But it could be that, I mean, I don't think the article title is misleading if you take that at face value, but it could be there wasn't an offer. It was like, hey, you're going to do this. And he's like, aight.
Yeah. My thing is that this article from the Direct did go through the process of sort of pointing out, like, here's all the times the same thing has happened before. Number one, Liam Neeson said he wasn't going to be in Kenobi. He was. Number two, I think Ewan McGregor full on said there's nothing happening with the Kenobi story right now. Multiple times, when we later found out it had definitely been in development for some time before it was announced. Number three, Andrew Garfield stated point blank that he was not in No Way Home in the Spider-Man movie. He was. There's all kinds of situations where people just full flat out lie. And I think that he was sort of being evasive because I'm sure, obviously, he can't say anything. Like, they put so much work into keeping Luke Skywalker showing up in season 2 of The Mandalorian under wraps, to the point where they're fooling people on the set. I'm like, they're not going to want that information out there yet. Like, I don't know. I just think that, like, people are getting their panties in a wad over nothing. And I'm like, who the fuck else is going to play him? I'm sorry. Like, who else are you going to get that is better than Lars Mikkelsen to play the live action Thrawn?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't care for it at
all. Pierce Brosnan? Remember that celebration thing?
I tried not to remember it. I try to blank it out in my mind because I don't want to think about it.
Well, we'll see. Who knows? At least it'll be a surprise.
Or will it? Because we'll just be like, oh, good. It is Lars Mikkelsen. I don't know if it'll be a surprise. It'll be more like relief. I'm like, it needs to not be anyone else. I'm sorry. It just can't be. It can't be anyone else.
Or what if there's a huge twist and he doesn't even show up in the show at all?
That would actually be really funny. But the fact that they cast Ezra, Yeah. And Ezra is supposed to be with Thrawn. I'm like, I don't know how they could avoid it. But and they also did that big tease in The Mandalorian where she's asked about him. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But that would be really funny.
But maybe Ezra's like, yeah, I ripped his head off. So and then I threw it into the void. Goodbye.
Whoopsies. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway.
My bad.
He's like, I'm the captain of this ship now, actually. You're welcome.
Wow. All the news we have, it's just TV. Everything we have today is TV.
Well, there may have been more news. I just didn't take the time to go find all of it.
There wasn't.
I've been really focused on Law and Order stuff, so my Twitter feed has not been as full of Star Wars as it has been in the past. So yeah, we got TV stuff.
Yeah, a lot of these things, I had seen them, and I was like, I don't care about directors. I don't care about Gabriel Luna, whatever. So I just ignored it. But you put it in there, so.
Jesus Christ. We'll get into the Gabriel Luna thing. But it was kind of exciting, though, that speaking of live action TV, they did announce the directors of The Mandalorian Season 3. I don't actually know where this was announced. I couldn't find, like, the original source, so I found the Collider article that talked about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. Did, like, Lucasfilm release a press release I didn't see? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But there's some new faces on this list of directors, which is kind of exciting. Sadly, we're missing Deborah Chow, so maybe she's like over Star Wars after Kenobi. She's like, I don't want to do this anymore. But Dallas Howard is returning. It sounds like Rick Famuyiwa might be directing. He's definitely executive producing the whole season, but TBD, I think, on whether or not.
I feel like it's confirmed, or I'm reading this as he is definitely directing.
Okay. Carl Weathers also returning to direct, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
These other people are new to me. So we've got Rachel Morrison, who worked on The Morning Show, which is my absolute favorite. So that's really exciting.
Also, first woman to receive an Academy Award nom for Best Cinematography. That's cool.
Yeah. It looks like she did cinematography for Black Panther. That's really cool. And the movie Cake. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's great. We've got Lee Isaac Chung is also joining the list of directors. I was not aware until I read this article that there is a sequel to Twister. The movie Twister in development. Same. I'm like, sorry, what? That I need to see. I would like to watch that, please.
Well, my question is it long awaited? Like, have we been waiting for this for,
dude,
what,
I'm pretty sure that first
years?
One came out 1997, I'm pretty sure. If I had to guess without having any context at all, I'm pretty
25
sure.
25 years at least. Yeah. But he also did Minari. Minari was good.
Is that a show?
It's a movie. It won a lot of awards. It's about a family that moved to a farm or something, and it's just like a family strife, you know, being immigrants and things like that. And I don't remember exactly, but it's good. It was on Hulu. It was nominated for a ton of stuff, a ton of Academy Awards.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's like a very prestigious dude being brought into the Mandalorian fray. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Carl Weathers, of course, is returning, and then Peter Ramsey is another new addition to the director's chair in The Mandalorian. It looks like he served on as one of the directors of Into the Spider-Verse, which was a very beloved movie. Did I tell you I finally watched that? For some reason, it took me a long time to sit
and
watch
that. I've never
watched it. Oh, it's good. It's long, and it's like very bright and a lot to take in. But when you can sit down and actually like sit and appreciate it, it's amazing. It was a great story, and it was really beautiful. Also worked on Rise of the Guardians, which is another thing I've never seen. Yeah, so
we've got very prestigious people,
which doesn't, I mean, that's kind of not a surprise to me, though, because I'm just like, The Mandalorian has been such a beloved thing and so seemingly universally embraced, not just in the Star Wars fandom, but outside of it too. So I think that's really exciting that we're getting these really high caliber people to come in and work on it. I'm sure they're real excited too. So yay, very cool.
Yeah. More director news. Here we go. Maybe an Ahsoka director. Steph Green. It was in her Instagram and then she took it off. Yeah. So she did T-Bop Chapter 2. But also what made me the most excited when I started looking at her stuff, she did two episodes of You're the Worst. One of my favorite shows in the universe.
That's
favorite
right.
Dark rom-com. Man in the High Castle. That show was beautiful, even though the ending sucked.
Oh, did it? I never watched the end. That's good to know.
It had so much potential, but it was wasted. The Americans. I love a good like Russian espionage drama. Bates Motel, love it. And Billions.
Lots of TV directing in her past, but yeah, she directed The Tribes of Tatooine, which was the sort of heavy Tusken Raider episode, flashback episode, which was one of my favorite episodes of the Book of Boba Fett. That may have been the best one. In my opinion, I really enjoyed the Mandalorian stuff that was in the Book of Boba Fett, but the stuff that was actually Boba Fett, I thought Chapter 2 was the best. So, very exciting to see her on the Ahsoka series, but yes, it was on her Instagram, and when this news came out on January 19th, today is January 21st, and it has since been removed from her Instagram bio, so whoopsies.
Fair enough.
This last thing was a TV, or was a video sort of Zoom interview, it looks like, Ash Crossan did with the actor Gabriel Luna, who everybody is talking about right now because he's playing Tommy Miller in The Last of Us on HBO. Alice, are you watching The Last of Us?
I have not watched it yet because I started a rewatch of The Walking Dead in October.
That would be a lot of zombie dosage for you.
Yeah, I haven't gotten through it. I only have like 28 episodes left.
Oh.
But the show is like a million episodes. So I'm really a little out zombied for now. But
got it.
I fully intend on watching it once my brain is a little less
busy
zombie show. And also I think it seems like it's probably better to watch in bulk. I don't know anything about it except it's based off a video game. Have you watched it?
I watched the first episode, and you say watch in bulk. I'm gonna warn you right now, the first episode is 90 minutes long. They did a full Yellowstone move and made the first episode so fucking long. But it was still good. I was entertained. Pedro Pascal is the lead in it, and he's amazing. So it's great to sort of see him doing, you know, another really big thing right now, because I just want him to have all the success in the world because I love him. But Gabriel Luna is playing his brother in this show. He was also Gabriel in Terminator Dark Fate, and he played Miguel in season 2 of True Detective, two things I've never seen. But the reason he came up in the sort of context of Star Wars is because he revealed in that interview with Ash that he wrote a letter to Dave Filoni saying that he wanted to play Ezra Bridger. And this is like before we knew, like, we'd seen season 4 of Rebels. So he didn't know what like Ezra's ultimate fate is.
Yeah.
But he basically was just like, hey, man, like, I love the show. Absolutely love all Star Wars animation. I would love to play this character. And here's all the reasons that I'm right for it. But now he actually came out and said, I am really enjoying the High Republic. And now I really would like to play a live action Elzar Man, which I'm like, wow, I love. Aww. I love that we're getting High Republic, free High Republic publicity from Gabriel Luna, who's doing all of this press right now for The Last of Us.
Do you think maybe he emailed over a PowerPoint presentation?
I fucking hope so. I hope so.
The fun transitions, you know?
Yeah.
Like the old school ones that we were obsessed with when we first learned PowerPoint.
The ones that fly in from the side and they're swipes.
Swipes, or it spins, or it's like a curtain, you know, all the weird shit.
We all really thought we were George Lucas back then directing our own PowerPoints with all those transitions.
That was the coolest thing to do. And I don't remember the last time I did it, but when PowerPoint first came out and or first had that option, I just remember everyone was obsessed, like trying out everything. Every single slide had to have a transition. You'd pick a different one for each slide, and then eventually people kind of stopped using them. Maybe I should start putting them in my presentations again if they're still available. I'd have to Google how to do it because I forgot.
They definitely are still available. During the pandemic, we had to do like our annual meetings with PowerPoint slides virtually, and I can confirm there are lots of new features that are fun, and all the same old ones, I believe, are still there.
Yay!
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I don't know about Gabriel Luna playing Elzar Man. That's not the casting I would have gone with. I have my own idea of who should play him, but good for him for putting himself out there.
They could toss him in the Acolyte.
Sure. Wouldn't work as Elzar Man, but they can put him in the Acolyte. Yeah.
Adjacent, distant cousin.
They're already working on it, so I'm like, I wonder if there's even time to do that, to get him involved. Maybe he can voice a droid or something.
Yeah, that'd be cute.
Yeah, but that's really exciting that we have potentially more Star Wars crossovers coming into the mix. It's just awesome that he's playing Pedro Pascal's brother in the show. in The Last of Us. I think you'll like it, honestly.
I think I will too.
Yeah. The first episode was like a little bit slow, some parts of it for me, but for the most part, it was like, I mean, I was like on the edge of my seat, and it's another one I'm going to have to probably stick with watching in the daytime because it was a little bit scary. And I'm a pussy, so.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for saying it instead of me because I was about to be like, pussy.
Yeah, no, I am.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it eventually. I'm really good at watching TV, and it being slow is fine because being on my Walking Dead kick, there are full halves of seasons that are very slow before the mid-season finale, and then the second half of the season will also be very slow until the last two or three episodes. Because I'm accustomed to handling that, I think I'm good to go.
Well, you should have liked Andor more then, I think.
Yeah, but it just didn't feel like there were stakes in Andor, you know?
Yeah. It's just boring. sorry. It was.
Truth.
Yeah. I think that's all we got in news, right?
Yeah. Directors. Actors. Kind of.
End of list.
Done. All right. This is record time for Recap on Tap. Getting to.
Yeah. Do we want to take a break or should we get right into Mando trailer?
Let's take a break. We are back. Recap on Tap. We have three things to get through. We'll start with Mando trailer and then we'll talk about Bad Bash.
Yeah, if you're one of the people that don't like to watch trailers and you want to go into Mandalorian cold, we're going to talk about what's in the fucking trailer. So if you want to duck out, here's the warning to do so now, because we're going to talk about, not spoilers for the show, just what's in the trailer.
Yep. So let's go ahead and just go through it, I guess. So it starts on a desert planet. There are Mandos on the horizon. And then the Mandos are just walking on the horizon while we get our first voiceover.
Yeah, we have Din Djarin saying our people are scattered like stars in the galaxy. And this just sounds like so, it just sounds like a little bit philosophical, like more philosophical than I feel like Din Djarin usually is. Like he feels like such a, I don't know. But it also feels like, oh my God, is he like stepping up and being like a leader amongst his people? Because now he's got the Darksaber, so he kind of is the de facto leader. But like, I don't know. It's an interesting line. Interesting way to open the trailer.
I forgot he had that. Now, yeah. Here's the other thing about this. When he's walking with them on what appears to be a desert planet, the group he's walking with, their armor is really, like, disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shininess to it, and it's all different, really muted colors, unlike when we saw Bo-Katan and crew and everything shiny, and they're all matching blue and silver. So I'm like, everyone's in dull, like, painted, like, Boba Fett painted armor. So who are they?
Good question.
Are they, like, the hardcore clan that somehow came back together? Like, what's their dealio? I was just kind of wondering that.
Some eagle-eyed person on Twitter did a close-up of one of them, and one of them had, like, a crest on their armor that was a crest for House Elder, whatever that is. Apparently one of those people was in Rebels. It was featured in Rebels in one of the Mandalorian episodes at one point. So they're like, there's a little tie-in there, but I'm just like, that's probably nothing. I don't know who those people are, but yeah, it'll be interesting to find out where did all of these people come from? How did he get them all in one place? Mm-hmm. And yeah, since he's convinced that Mandalore isn't really a thing anymore, it's like, oh, but they are, actually.
Yeah, so maybe it's going to be like Mando fight with them versus Bo-Katan crew.
Well, I also wonder, I'm like, are those people part of the cult that he grew up in, or are these like more liberal Mandalorians, and like how do they feel about the armorer and Din Djarin's cult and all of that stuff? So
I mean, it would be kind of weird. Like, I don't remember all of the Mandos in the first season when they went on their fighting rampage, but the armorer has really shiny, nice outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Mando has really nice shiny outfit. So I feel like they're from something different. So maybe they're just another clan, or maybe they're the original clan where he was raised. Yeah, could be.
Yeah. Interesting that they all have helmets on. Like, not a single one of them has their helmet off for any reason. So I'm like, that makes me wonder if, like, maybe he's these people are more like him than they are Bo-Katan.
But they're also in, like, dusty desert, and I wouldn't want that shit in my face.
Yeah, no hard pass. Yeah. That's a good point.
All right. So Mando is flying around. We see the baby looking through his little semi-circle window, and then sitting in Mando's lap, and we get another voiceover.
Yes, we have, before that we have Din Djarin asking, who are we, what do we stand for, when he's with the Mandos, and then we have Din saying, being a Mandalorian's not just learning about how to fight, you also have to know how to navigate the galaxy. That way you'll never be lost.
Yeah, he is getting really philosophical.
He is! I'm just like, this is just like not the Din that I feel like we know, but like, good for him. We're getting some character development. They're pushing him a little farther. That's whatever. It's different, but it's fine. In these scenes, we're kind of walking around what I'm pretty sure is Navarro. We see him landing his N1 fighter. We see monkey lizards in the trees, and we get the return of Greef Karga, who is auto-corrected in my notes as Green Cargo. So that's that's fun.
Amazing. And he walks up in some fancy ass robes, like this red velvety looking thing, and like a fancy kind of shoulder necklace, like mm-hmm. you see in every medieval king show.
Mm-hmm.
So he fancy now. And they do a little like hand slap. Like
yeah.
A hand slap handshake. It's cool.
He's probably like, so Cara Dune's dead. And Din's like, oh, too bad. And Greef Karga's like, yeah. Anyway, then we got to
more flying. And then there's rain or hail or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And it looks like R5 is in the droid port at one point in the N1 mm-hmm. while the baby's in Din's lap. And we've got the armor dunking a helmet shaped form into some kind of liquid.
Yeah, I was surprised we saw her again.
I know. I was just like, I almost wondered. I'm like, is this like maybe footage, like previous footage? Like this might be like a shot from Book of Boba Fett. I don't know. It looked sort of familiar, but it could just be because I saw a lot of this content at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, I mean, I would just be surprised for him to see her again after how they ended things. But maybe it's Bo-Katan. Yeah.
In the armor?
Seeing the armor.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe it's not Din standing in front of her. It could be like a weird cut that they used. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder how much time they're going to spend sort of recapping what happened in the Book of Boba Fett. Because, I mean, this trailer does not make any effort to be like, hey, idiot, if you didn't watch the Book of Boba Fett, you're going to be really fucking confused. You should go do that. It was just like, oops, they reunited and you missed it, so here we are. Like, mm-hmm. if people weren't paying attention, I feel like they're going to be really confused. But maybe they bring her back just to, like, even if it's in flashback form, just to, like, recap what did we accomplish in the Book of Boba Fett when it comes to Din Djarin and the baby.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because he tells her he's going to go to Mandalorian in the Book of Boba Fett, and then they reiterate that in this trailer.
The options are endless. Speaking of reiterating, I'm going to Mandalore so that I may be forgiven for my transgressions. And then there's a shot looking down at a hot mess that was Mandalore.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. Good question. It's real sad looking, and we still have R5 kind of poking his head out of the droid port. A lot of R5 content in this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the N1... Oh, yeah. And then we've got the N1 rising from the surface of Tatooine. And we've got Pelly waving, telling them, may the Force be with you, and taking off. Sorry, Pelly and a pit droid.
It's so cute.
It is.
With his little, like, airplane guidance sticks.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to think. Have they said, may the Force be with you in this show?
Hmm. I'm sure Luke did. In season two, in the finale.
Right, but like a non... That would make sense for Jedi to say it, but for just a regular person when the Jedi haven't been around for, what, almost 30 years?
I wonder if maybe anybody from the New Republic did, any of those rangers that were sort of chasing them throughout the last couple seasons, maybe they would have mentioned... I don't know. Good question.
I wonder if that means anything.
Yeah.
Hmm?
But I like that Pelly says it. It's cute.
Yeah, but I'm like, God, do we have to go back there again?
We have to go back to Tatooine because Pelly's on Tatooine, and I really like Pelly, and I don't have a problem going back to Tatooine if it's to spend a little bit of time with her. I also would not be mad if they happened to give us a little mention of whether or not Boba Fett and Fennec Shand are still there, or if they've made their way elsewhere.
I mean, maybe he goes there and... He's like, hey, Boba, where was your dad living? Did you ever visit? Can I go? Draw it on a map. Thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. And Bubba's like, yeah. Yeah, I can do that for you. You sort of helped me out of a pinch a while back, if you recall. It was a little bit of a conflict. You were there.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago. Long time no see.
And everybody who didn't watch the Book of Boba Fett is like, fucking what? Like, yeah, it'll be... That's going to be interesting to see how the reaction plays out.
Oh.
Then we've got Din and Grogu back in the N1, and we see a reflection of city lights sort of on the cockpit cover with Baby looking out.
They're fireworks.
Yeah, this Din says this is the way, and then the fast shots, it's like we get the fireworks in the background, and we see the baby reaching for the controls in the N1, and we see them sort of jumping to what looks like maybe sublight speed. Doesn't look like light speed, but I don't know. And then the return of Carson Teva. I feel like he's going to have, like, his role is just going to keep building. And I almost wonder, I'm like, was this really supposed to be just, like, a one-time little cameo for this guy? And everybody was like, oh, this guy! And so now they just keep bringing him back.
Yeah, maybe. He says, there's something dangerous happening out there, and by the time it becomes big enough for you to act, it'll be too late. A few questions.
Yes.
I'm assuming this is Coruscant. Is it the douchey scientist lame-o guy
floating
about in a little... thingy.
Pershing riding in a speeder with a droid. Definitely a return of Dr. Pershing, which is great.
He sucks. I hate him.
There's a lot of talk about what Carson Teva is referring to in this thing when he's talking about something dangerous happening out there. I think a lot of people are sort of suspecting that this is where the Ahsoka, Thrawn, Ezra conflict that's happening in like beyond the outer unknown regions or whatever, if that's how this story is going to play into that. I'm wondering if maybe we're reading too much into that, because the thing about these trailers is that most of this content is probably from the first half of the season, and I'd be willing to bet that we would get more into that stuff in the latter half of the season. So I don't know. I think that he's probably talking about something dangerous that's like a little bit more obvious and familiar to all of us.
Well, yeah, like the rise of the First Order.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And then we've got some more quick shots. Somebody unearths an old Mandalorian helmet buried in the sand. I assume that's Din, but it's not really super clear.
Yeah, dusty, dirty, rusty, something or other. There's a cave.
We have Grogu close up, and you can see in his eyes the blue and green of the lightsabers reflected in his eyes in this quick little close-up, and then we get the quick shot of the back of four Jedi in robes with sabers ignited as a door at the temple is forced open. Holy shit!
I'm like, more Order 66? No. And then I wrote, why does it cry, Smeagol? I'm pretty sure that's something he says. So I'm guessing more baby back story, and then I looked at him, baby back, baby back, baby back.
Oh, my baby back, baby back. Trailers, baby. Sorry.
Yeah, I tried looking too at the Jedi to look for any little Padawan braids. I didn't see any.
No.
So maybe they're like, I wonder, this is just another shot of baby's background. Are these full-on Jedi? Do we know any of these Jedi?
I saw some suspicions that the one with long hair may have been Syndralig. Who was in the security video in Revenge of the Sith, which I think it could be very likely. I think there was some suspicion that he was featured in a previous Order 66 flashback that we've seen from Grogu's point of view. I don't think that was ever confirmed, though. Do you think we're going to get confirmation this season of who saved him from Order 66, who saved Grogu?
Oh, that'd be cool. What if, hear me out, what if it was Jocasta Nu? Right?
Yeah. I think that would make a lot of sense.
It would. And then on top of that, maybe Luke knew about the baby and hid him somewhere else, because I think in that Vader comic run, that first Charles Soule one, I want to say she was like hiding things away in a cave or something. And then
Luke finds the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that tracks. I know the popular theory is that Barriss Offee got him out of there, but I'm like, Barriss at that point had already been like banished and was like in prison. or something. So, like, what the fuck would she have been doing in Order 66?
Mm-hmm.
If, like, I don't know, maybe the clones attacked her and she got away. I have no idea. But it'll be interesting. I just really would like to know who it is that saves him. I know we've been theorizing for so long. It'd be nice to finally get the answer. I have no problem with more Order 66 flashbacks and references. They make me cry every time. It brings so much emotion to the story. I don't know why people get mad about Dave Filoni constantly referencing Order 66. I'm like, yeah, it was a kind of a big deal, though. Like, it makes sense that it would be brought up again and again.
Yeah, and then it can just be added to that heart-wrenching supercut.
Yes. Yes.
Damn it.
That thing is so fucking sad. It's so sad.
I know. So I'm excited for that. So then we flip to somewhere else. We've got Ties chasing Mando over water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is this planet with water? And then we see blue outfit Mando's jumping out of a plane.
One note on the water thing. Din is not in his N1 when in those scenes. He's flying like one of those, like, I don't know. I think they call it a gauntlet in some other Star Wars medium. I don't know. But it's not his ship. So I'm like, how did we get here? We see a droid repairing something as Din watches the wide shot of a droid bar, question mark. Looks like a bar. I don't know. And then, yeah, the eight Mandalorians dropping out of a ship towards what looks like maybe the surface of Navarro. I assume that's what it is, because then they're on the surface later. And it looks like at least four of them have blue helmets. And I'm pretty sure one of them is Bo-Katan, but we can't really tell who the other ones are. My one disappointment with this trailer is the lack of Bo-Katan. She was all over the teaser that came out 4 months ago, and I would like to have had more of her in this, but it's fine.
Yeah. I'm like, is there going to be a Mando gang fight, like West Side Story?
Yeah, like a dance-off.
Where they're just snapping?
Yeah.
Boy, can they snap boy, in those gloves?
Pretty boy. No, there's no way.
With the little, like, jump hop? That's what I want. They can do it with their little blaster. You know the hop I'm doing? Like, thinking
yes, about. I know exactly what you're talking about. I was that in one. West Side Story in high school. And then, like, that episode will end, it'll be, like, directed by Steven Spielberg. And we're like, what? Like, I can't wait.
Someone comes out singing. maybe the two little Babu freak dudes come out singing. That'd be cute.
The Anzellans.
Tonight.
There are Tony and Maria. I love it.
So, seeing those two little dudes, I'm like, is one of them actually Babu, right?
I'm not sure.
If so, is the water planet that's going on, was it maybe the ice planet prior to galaxical warming?
galaxical. Wow. Right? I'm sure there's a better word for that, but I don't know what it is. And I think that we just keep galaxical going. I like it.
Make galaxical a thing.
Galaxical change is what happened there.
Galaxical cooling. Because he was in a droid bar, right?
Yeah.
His little office.
Okay. One other, here's another fun typo in my notes. I said the Mandos on the surface, but it came out mangoes. So mangoes on the surface are firing blasters into, there's no crowd. I don't know who they're shooting at, but whatever. We see that statue that's featured earlier in the trailer when Greef Karga is there. The statue's like destroyed. This like little town square area is all busted up. And another one of the mangoes drags an alien like from some wire to the ground. The alien looks dead. And we see the Anzellans cheering, one of which may or may not be Babu Frick.
In a quick part of the clip with all the pew pew, there is a Mando who kind of looks outfitted like Fennec Shand.
Interesting.
There's a maroon knee-length skirt.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that. I like that little reference, maybe. Maybe to Fennec Shand, maybe not. I don't know. But I liked the look.
Maybe she stole a helmet, you know, because it wasn't her helmet. And I'm like, I think the only one we've seen in a skirt like that is the armor, but that wasn't the armor.
No. I like the different take, though, and the different, like, things that they do to sort of mix up the Mandalorian look, where it's not just armor and it's not just different colored armor, or it's like, there's a little extra embellishment. Like, I wonder if we'll get a lot of that in this season, since it seems like we're going to be meeting a bunch of new Mandalorians.
Yeah, we need some way to tell them apart.
You know, the one with the skirt.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's too difficult. Like on Housewives of Salt Lake, there are two or three of them that have long, straight brown hair. And because the first couple of seasons, I was like, God, which is which? Because their faces are all done the same and they all have fake boobs. And you're just like, I can't tell the difference between you two.
Yeah.
Like, bring in the blondes. Like,
yeah.
I can't. Does not compute.
Bring in the blondes. That's like, sounds like a name of a musical theater number.
Jets. Literally jets. The little jet packs.
Yep. Oh, see, there's so many West Side Story references that we can pull into The Mandalorian. Come on, Steven Spielberg. Get in on this.
A missed opportunity.
Right. All right, let's finish this up. So the last little part of this trailer is the baby floating in his pod from inside of a cave. An alien monster appears, and we hear Din say this is the way. The alien monster is thrown backwards out of a cave, and we see Grogu floating towards him in his pod with his hand outstretched and his eyes narrowed. And that is the end of the trailer.
It's so cute. He's like, nope, bye. Yeah, and this is the second this is the way that we get.
Yes, it is repeated in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. Emphasized.
A lot of this was shown at Star Wars Celebration and the content we saw there. Some of it was new. I don't think this was the exact same thing. And I think there may have been some repeat from the teaser that we got that was released publicly 4 months ago. I think that came out of D23. But yeah, the thing to remember, I think, with these trailers, it's always the same with these shows. It's always content from the first half of the season. A lot of it will be like for episodes 1 through 3. So there's going to be a lot that we don't know, I think, going into this March 1st premiere. I don't know if we're going to get any more trailers. Do you? Do you think we'll get another one?
Maybe we'll get like a 20-second teaser or something, but I wouldn't.
There will be like some new shots added to like some overall Disney Plus promo that will have new content. And I bet that's all we'll get before March 1st. I don't think I need anything else. I'm totally fine going into the rest of this not knowing anything else.
Okay. Bad Batch episodes 3 and 4. Both very, very different. Episode 3 held my attention. Really liked it. Episode 4 was fine. I think I missed out on part of it because I wasn't paying attention because I lost interest. But that's fine. I'll ask you and you'll be able to answer me.
I had a lot of that with episode 4, the first. I watched that episode, I think, 3 times now, and I totally understand where you're coming from.
All right. Episode 3, The Solitary Clone. So this is mostly about Commander Cody, who tried to kill Bay, but I can get over that now. Mm-hmm. And a planet that was a separatist planet, right?
Yes, the planet was called Desix. So this is a Crosshair intensive episode. The rest of the batch is not in it at all, which I kind of like. I like sort of taking a break from some of those characters and getting mm-hmm. to sort of see a different side of what else is happening in the galaxy and getting to catch up with Crosshair because I'm still convinced that he's in for a really touching redemption arc someday. I just don't know when. But I really enjoyed this episode. It was definitely darker in tone, for sure, and just overall look than episode 4. And I really liked the character Tawny Ames, who is the sort of governor on Desix, which is supposed to be an independent planet, like independent from Imperial rule. And then we've got the Governor Groton guy, who's an Imperial that shows up and he's like, hey, we're gonna like take over this shit. No judgment. Just please get out of the way. And she's like, bitch, no. Also, we get the revelation that Crosshair was left on Kamino for 32 days. I'm like, no, granted, you can survive on rainwater. I get that. He had nothing on him. He didn't have a bag. He didn't have supplies. He had like a utility belt that maybe had some shit on it. How in the actual fuck did he survive for 32 days?
Fishing?
With what? He didn't have a pole.
A trash. He could have made a net.
He was like up on the platform, like super high up above the water. I don't know.
He could have made a very large net.
Maybe.
And caught rainwater in a cup.
I want like a diary. I want somebody to write a novel that's like his 32 days on
day one
the platform. I regret everything day one. I brought no food on this trip.
Yeah, so where did he end up going though?
I think they're on Coruscant because he's at some Imperial base and we see him sort of like in his little bunker. We see him sort of in the mess hall and we see him getting summoned to Rampart's office for these little talks, and then we see him with Cody at the battle memorial of all the clones which is on Coruscant. So that's me. That I'm pretty sure that's where they are.
So they're like, all right, you're going on a mission. And he's like, yes. They're like, but you're not leading it. Cody is. Have fun. We need to go get our dude back because we wanted to take over a planet. And this governor is, you know, a piece of work and she kidnapped him. So we need to go fix that.
Yeah, he's being sent there under the guise of seeking a diplomatic solution, but really Rampart is just like, do what needs to be done, motherfucker, I don't care. Like, just make sure it gets done. And so he goes to the battle memorial to go to his ship, and he runs into Cody there, who's leading the mission. And Cody says that he requested Crosshair specifically. And they have a discussion about how the Clone Force 99 is, like, gone rogue, and they're traitors. And Cody is like, well, you know, some of the regs have gone rogue, too, and some of them are questioning Order 66 and whether that was the right thing to do. And Crosshair is like, well, they're traitors too. It's very black and white with Crosshair still. He's mm-hmm. still pretty set in his ways.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people did some hardcore analysis of that memorial and it was just gibberish.
Yeah, it was. That's what I kept seeing too. It was just nothing. Just random letters and numbers.
It was like when the adults talk in Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. But on paper.
Which is so funny. I'm like, you know that people are going to go, like, surely the people who designed that knew that fans were going to be looking to see what it was. I'm like, you couldn't have just, okay, it's fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's probably time that they didn't have, and I get it. So yeah, they head to Desix. Groton's tied up. He's being guarded by battle droids. Ames comes in, tells him that he can have his freedom when Desix has theirs, and she takes off her helmet, and she's fucking cool. I really like this character. I'm really sad that she died so quickly. Like, she was in and out of this episode, and that's all we got of her, and I just thought she was awesome, and I was disappointed by that.
I especially love her strategy mm-hmm. of having all of the old battle droids and their little machines, and then having the strategy droid just kind of do everything. It was so cool. We got to see the droidicas again, like, it was amazing.
Yes.
I loved it.
We see Crosshair shoot a Separatist tank right down the barrel. And it explodes. That was fucking cool. But that's how all the clones can cross the bridge and get into this compound, castle, whatever the hell that is.
In my head, I was trying to think of the word for barrel.
What'd you come up with?
Hold on. Shoot hole.
You heard it right here, folks. Crosshair shoots a Separatist tank right down the shoot hole.
Oh, I cracked myself up.
Oh, that's really funny. Oh, so stupid. Fire in the shoot hole. Okay.
Well, what's extra cool about all this, too, is it's like, it's kind of like a flashback for everyone.
To Clone Wars?
Yeah. So yeah. I wonder if that affected their mindset at all.
Oh, like the clones?
Yeah, like this is what we used to do. This is how things used to be for us. There weren't the stakes of killing people. It was killing droids. And I wonder if that's part of what made Cody's kind of like what solidified this is weird in his head.
Yeah, his like decision to ultimately leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Cody's group runs into this building. They lead some droidicas on a merry chase around the compound. They encounter some battle droids I don't remember seeing before, but that doesn't mean that they weren't there. There's like updated battle droids that can do flips and shit.
They kind of reminded me because the way that they were stacked and had like the little circle in their chest, mm-hmm. it kind of reminded me of what we saw in The Mandalorian on that ship.
Oh, in the finale?
Yeah.
Of two? Yeah, interesting. Some sort of similar.
Yeah, it was kind of, they were kind of like that. Maybe they were some sort of prototype.
Yeah, I believe that. Shit. Ooh, that's scary. They were working on that mm-hmm. shit way back when.
They were very agile.
Crosshair does a cool thing where he is, like, in the tower, and he uses, like, a mirror puck thing to, like, ricochet mm-hmm. blaster bolts, and it's dope as hell, actually. Cool. Yeah. At one point, a droid gets Crosshair in a chokehold, and Cody throws a knife at its head. I'm like, I always kind of forget that they had knives. This isn't the first time we've seen the clones with knives, and it's just like, it seems so primitive, but I like that right. They whip it out every now and then. It's great.
They whip it out the shoot hole.
They do. It's what it's there for. They get up to the top of the tower, and Tawny Ames is holding Groton at gunpoint, and Cody tells her that the Empire's goal is to establish peace and order throughout the galaxy. And it's just, as soon as he said that, I like flashed back to Obi-Wan, because that was like something that like Tala talked about, mm-hmm. how she's like, you know, the Empire stood for something at one point, and I was drawn in, and now here we are. And I like that we're seeing that journey for Cody now, and it's cool.
Yeah.
Ames tells him that there was a time she believed in peace, but now, you know, she references Mina Bonteri. They talk about how the Separatists and Republic senators tried to end the war, and the Chancellor wouldn't let them, and the peace was never an option line delivery is like, chef's kiss. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. When Cody and Crosshair lower their weapons, they're then ordered to fire, and eventually Cody takes off his helmet, again, tries to defuse, and she releases Groton. And then he orders Cody to execute Ames. Cody, of course, does not, but Crosshair does. And it's not really surprising. I could see it coming, and it still took me by surprise when it happened and made me sad. Yeah,
Cody's a little kind of traumatized by that. So after that, the Empire's like, all right, it's ours. And the whole Cody's team goes back on a ship. But another ship lands, and a lot more stormtroopers come off that. And they all have different helmets.
Yeah.
So are those the non-clone recruits?
Those would be the people who, I guess, either enlisted or conscripted or something that are replacing the clones, which is real sad.
So then they're back on Coruscant looking at the memorial thing again, Crosshair and Cody. And Cody's questioning things again, like, womp womp. Crosshair's like, meh. And he gets called back in for another mission with another commander. And he's like, yo, what happened to Cody? And dude's like, oh, he went AWOL. I still think the guy said it in a weird way that could imply they secretly killed him off versus he actually went missing. But I like the idea that he would just go AWOL. It seemed like he was heading that direction. Speaking of heads, what a good pun here. I'm wondering if those chips in their heads, like, degrade at all.
I would wonder that too. That's interesting to think about. I think that they would. I don't know.
Their brains would, like, absorb them, or maybe they have, like, some weird corrosion thing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Corrosion situation afoot.
Mm-hmm. Gross. Getting all that, like, rust and leaking inside your brain.
Mm.
Nasty.
I mean, yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Yummy. Weird. So that's episode 3. I really liked episode 3. There's really fucking great music in episode 3. The Kyners bring in a lot of like horns and that are used really perfectly, especially over the end credits. It's just gorgeous. And yeah, Tawny Ames was cool. The main squad and Omega were not in this one. It was an interesting episode, an interesting insight into sort of Crosshair's state of mind and what he's going through. So I really liked it. This is my favorite episode of the season so far.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah. Should we dive into episode 4?
Yes, episode 4. It's called Faster. So a few questions I have that I missed. Where's Hunter?
Hunter and Echo are on a side mission elsewhere. So they're not in this episode at all. They just make one reference really quickly somewhere that they're doing something else.
Okay. So Tech, Wrecker, Omega, and Sid go to some races. And then Sid gets... What happens that they have to bet on her?
So Sid has, like, I don't know if it's her ship or her droid, but she's got, like, a person that she always bets on, or a racer that she always bets on, and it's this droid, Teo, who is voiced by Ben Schwartz from Parks and Rec, who is amazing, and that's her ringer. So she bets on him, and unfortunately, I think he loses, and so she loses a bunch of money, but then I think that Malegi guy...
Chen Horns.
Yeah, comes to collect on some bet. And she knows him from sort of her past life of being a real sketchy hustler. And then they have to sort of go in on a double or nothing bet.
Her past life of being a sketchy hustler?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, but she's a little bit more, I don't know, like...
Or is she?
That's the question. That is the mm-hmm. question, I think, that they try to leave yeah. us sort of questioning, can we actually trust Sid mm-hmm. with these people or not?
Yeah. So the bet is, well, her little droid's destroyed and Chen Horns is like, ha. And everyone's like, oh, we have to help Sid. Oh, no. And he's like, all right, win the race and I'll free her. And yeah, stuff. They're like, okay, who can drive this thing? Because we can't fix the droid. It keeps blowing itself up and it's dramatic and an idiot. So they all start thinking. And I thought Omega was going to take it, because didn't we think for a while that maybe Omega was kind of force sensitive?
I don't know. I guess maybe that was a topic of conversation at some point, but I don't think that there's anything to that.
Omega just kind of annoys me. Like, sorry, not sorry. I've just been so annoyed every time she opens her mouth. I'm like, ugh, what now?
Well, you're
so dramatic.
Tech and Wrecker don't want to help out in this situation. I mean, I think Tech even says at one point, like, Sid has this habit of getting herself into sticky situations and it really should not be our job to have to bail her out. And Omega is the one who is just like, well, we have to help her, though. Like, we have to help her because it's the right thing to do. And they're like, yeah, I guess. It's fine. And Tech is the one that ends up being the pilot in the race. The concept alone of riot racing, I think, is really fun. The fact that it's like pod racing, but with weapons and no rules. It's funny.
I was surprised at how many of the drivers were droids. That was weird to me.
Yeah, but it also kind of makes sense, because I'm just like, if it's really that much more dangerous, which it probably is, it's like mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot more loss of life if you've got sentient beings in there.
Yeah, that's fair. So there's the race. I enjoyed the race. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big chunk of the episode, as one would assume. But yeah, there's a race. Spoiler alert, Tech wins. And then they get Sid back and they meet up with Chen Horns after. And I don't know why they meet up with Chen Horns.
Because he's like holding her sort of, not hostage, but like kind of. She's collateral for this bet. So they have to meet up with Malegi to get Sid back so that they can all leave on their merry little way. And Malegi, as they're leaving, sort of, I think, has them sort of hang back. And they're like, hey, he's like, careful of her, because you may not actually be able to trust her or her loyalty.
Yeah. So now I'm like, oh, shit, what's she going to do to him? You know?
Yeah.
Fudge.
I don't know. I think that she has pure intentions, especially now that Omega was the one that really like stood up for her. And they know that like... She knows that their whole prerogative is to keep Omega safe. Like, yeah, they're trying to, like, make money and go out and do these missions and stuff for her, but it's also that they can, like, keep Omega under wraps.
Fair enough.
I thought this episode was fun. It was really funny. I thought Ben Schwartz brought a ton of really funny comedic beats to it. The announcers that sort of announced the race or whatever were also really funny.
Was so funny when they were announcing all the drivers. And they're like, this person, wah, this person, wah. And they announce like five more people. And the crowd's like, whoa. And then they're just like, and Tech?
Tech.
And it's silence. And Tech? Is that really it? Tech?
Just Tech?
That was funny.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. And I like the sort of balance that they've struck with this season so far. The first two mm-hmm. episodes were kind of... fine. The third episode obviously had a lot much darker tone, a lot more memories of Order 66, and then this one was definitely struck a much lighter note. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are using the F word for this episode, filler. A lot of people don't like that word. I don't care. Take it or leave it. Whether you think it's filler or not is up to you. I sincerely enjoyed it.
It was fun, and I mean, it does set up, like, every time we see Sid now, we're going to be like,
questioning her, like, motives, yeah.
So, yeah, I liked this batch more than one and two, that's for sure. So it's picking up.
Exactly. Yeah, this will be fun. Looking forward to seeing how the end plays out, because, again, I didn't see the end, but mm-hmm. I can't say I'm looking forward to the rest of it because I've already seen it. The limb watch that we have going... Nothing to add from any of these three, right? I know we have that in like our later in our episode, but I don't feel like there was anything.
I mean, that droid they were trying to fix technically lost limbs.
I guess.
Don't remember. I should have paid attention. All right. Well, we'll just pay attention next time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Teo might count. I think that might be we might be able to count that.
Okay. We can do Price is Right style.
Yeah.
So if our tally is already two, you're in for a world of hurt. All right. So shall we do
trips? Okay, I need to pull up my own handwritten trivia, or I need to take off my headphones and go grab cards, and I'm trying to decide which one I want to do.
Okay.
I'm going to get cards. I don't want to pull my own stuff. Hold on. Okay, I'm ready when you are.
Three questions?
Sure.
Okay. Who is the first to admit having a very bad feeling about this in A New Hope?
Luke.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Number two. Who neglects to inform Darth Sidious that the Jedi ambassadors have escaped?
Repeat the question, please.
Who neglects to inform Darth Sidious that the Jedi ambassadors have escaped?
Newt Gunray.
Yay! Yes. Ding, ding, ding. This one's hard. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
How many times does Luke Skywalker ignite his lightsaber while dueling Darth Vader on the second Death Star?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Two?
Three.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous one, but...
Yeah, it was just a shot in the dark, honestly. I wasn't sure. Okay. Speaking of Return of the Jedi, who does Luke Skywalker warn, "Soon I'll be dead and you with me"?
Soon I'll be dead and you with me. Palpatine?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Shit. Fuck yeah. I was like, is it Vader? Or I don't know. Okay. Cool.
Question number two. Which part of the buzz droid does Obi-Wan Kenobi tell R2-D2 to hit in order to disable it?
Buzz droid. Oh. The nose?
It's kind of looks like a nose, so I'll give you partial credit, but it's center eye.
Half point.
Yeah.
There we go.
Half point there. And your final question, which I think is a little bit of a harder one, but maybe not. We'll see what you think. How many columns in the Geonosian execution arena are available for chained victims until one is knocked down?
Oh, I feel like this is a trick question. Because available does not mean they were all used. I feel like there must have been extra ones. Four?
Correct. There are four. Well done.
It's my favorite number.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Holler. 2.5. Yay. All right. What to expect from our next episode. It will be out February 7th. That will be our 4-year anniversary.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary. Almost.
With bubbles. Yeah. Yeah, February 5th, I think, is our true one.
Yeah, it so, is. And we'll have to have real bubbles. We will. It'll be nice. Aw, yay.
Huzzah. All right. There will be Bad Batch 5 and 6. And whatever news we can find, maybe we'll start Jedi Battle Scars and just give a one-sentence thought.
Yeah, they haven't sent us hard copy advanced reader books yet, but we do have the ebook of Jedi Battle Scars, which is the Fallen Order tie-in book that is set before Jedi Survivor. So I'm excited. We got it yesterday, and yeah, looking forward to getting started soon.
And last but not least, Toast 2.
Toast 2. I have a couple of things, small things. Number one, I've been doing a lot of trip planning because after Star Wars Celebration in London, I'm going to go to Spain with Rose and my friend Liz. We'll do a little traveling after that, just while we're in the neighborhood of Europe being the neighborhood. Chicago Restaurant Week started yesterday, so there's lots of fun deals to be found around the city and lots of places I would like to try, so... That's always a good time every year. And they, of course, always do at the shittiest time of year because restaurants are slowing down a little bit. Business is slowing down. So it's a good time of year to draw people in. And I'm very excited. My last thing is my Law & Order SVU update because in 24 years, my two characters that I've shipped forever have hugged like 5 or 6 times total. 24 years. Like that's as physically intimate as it got.
Yeah.
In that long. And I said in 2020, when they brought Elliot Stabler back, that they were going to make the two of them a thing, make a love story happen, and for 3 years I've looked like a fucking clown because it has not happened. And so on Thursday, it allegedly is going to maybe finally happen, so I will be on my couch dressed like a fucking clown yet again, waiting for my 24-year-long ship to finally become an official love story couple, and I just need it to fucking happen already. So I'm excited.
How do you know it's maybe finally happening?
Because they released a promo, and the promo shows them being physically sort of close and intimate and looking like they're about to kiss. But it's, they don't actually show them kissing, so, you know, who knows?
Let me tell you, I'm going to disappoint you right now.
Yeah, I know.
Dampen your spirits.
Yeah.
So in my toast too, one of my things is rewatching Homeland again. I rewatched it last month and started watching it again this month because I just started getting obsessive with it. Now, two characters that I guess, kind of shipped, which is Claire Danes and Peter Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of one season, they, like, had a hardcore makeout. And we're like, oh, my God, can we both get out of the agency? Like, we could do this. And he had a really sweet moment with their baby. And then she was kind of in a mood, and he was supposed to go on a black ops mission. Anyway, it just – he got dramatic, and she got dramatic. And he went on the black ops mission, and she couldn't get in touch with him again. So they had this hardcore makeout, and then he, like, disappeared for a couple of years, and they never rekindled it.
Never?
No, because – You haven't watched Homeland?
No, and I won't, so I don't care if you spoil it. It's fine.
Oh, it's all on Hulu. No, because she goes off to Germany, and he's, like, fighting in Syria on secret missions. And then he gets captured by terrorists and gassed with this thing called sarin, and then has a seizure, and then he's all, like, fucked up in the head. So they never get together.
Oh, sad.
I know.
Well, nobody on Law and Order is fucked in the head, so I need them to just get together. But I am fully expecting for this show to let me down, because yeah, it has let me down so many times in the last 3 years. And the writing is, like, really fucking, like, the dialogue, these people must have taken, like, a page out of George Lucas's fucking school for writing dialogue. Some of the dialogue is so bad, and the stories are so stupid. But I continue to watch for this one fucking reason, because I just need them to happen. And I swear to God, if they don't make it happen soon, the fans are going to turn on the show because people are, like, so mad. It's literally been 2 decades. Like, come on.
You know what I think I read the other day on Twitter? Because most of my Twitter is housewives and Formula One now.
Yeah.
So one of the housewives of Beverly Hills, Erica Girardi, Erica Jane, she's got a big lawsuit because her husband was stealing money.
Yeah.
I think I saw somewhere that she was the first character to be killed in SVU or in Law and Order.
First, like, she, like, played a corpse or something.
Yeah, let me look her up. Hold on,
because that's awesome. Wait, is she on the New York episode, or is she on of Housewives?
She's on Beverly Hills, but she's got a whole thing because her husband stole money from those Malaysia aircraft crash victims and or Lion Air, whatever. He stole money. There was a whole thing on it. Yeah, she was uncredited in 2 episodes, season 1, episode 1 of Law and Order: Prescription for Death.
Oh my God, that is fucking funny. That happens yeah. to me all the time, though, because I'll be, like, watching something and I'll be like, why does that actor look familiar? And it's like, oh, they were on one episode of Law and Order SVU for 5 minutes in 2002. And that's why I know who that recognize their face, because I have rewatched that show also several times.
Well, the thing with this is you wouldn't even recognize her face because she's done so much shit to it. You know, like, she's probably got a new everything. So there's yeah. that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. My toast too is Homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatch. So mm-hmm. good. Yellowjackets trailer for season 3.
So pumped.
So excited. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Wait, isn't it season 2?
Oh, for season 2. It's renewed for season 3. That's where I was getting a little confused.
Got it.
So work's really busy, and Wednesday has to have a tooth pulled from her mouth and be under anesthesia on Tuesday, the day this comes out. So thoughts and prayers for baby puppy.
Think of Alice on Tuesday if you're listening on the day this comes out, and her sweet, sweet puppy.
Yeah. For Wednesday.
She'll be good. Mm. Does she have to eat, like, soft food for a while after that? Did you have to get, like, yeah. expensive wet food for her?
Yep, I certainly did.
Yeah, I bet you did.
$50.
You'll do it for your princess.
Yep, $50 for a case of 12 cans.
Oh my God.
12 days of food. Yep. She's worth that.
Is Tuesday going to be jealous, do you think?
For sure.
She gets them too. Yeah.
100%. Okie dokes. That's it for me. Thank you for listening. For some of you, almost 4 years of our nonsense, which is amazing. And yeah, spread the news, share our Twitter, Instagram stuff, which Laura's killing it with.
Thank you.
And yeah, we love reviews. They make us happy. So there's that.
You can find our show on Twitter and Instagram at Forced Toast Pod. You can also email our show at ForcedToastPod@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to us on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. We're everywhere. Find a full list on our website, which is forcedtoastpod.com.
Shoot hold.
Oh, God, that was so fucking funny. True or false? The best part of being a full-grown adult is you can go to the grocery store and buy sugary cereal, and nobody can tell you that you can't do that.
Chew! 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 I've got a case of the sneezies. I'm really excited to see Coruscant. I've been wanting to see Coruscant again for like a million years, and I've been bitching about it for years.
Okay, it was in Andor, but...
Oh. Shit. It was. Well, Andor was so boring, I didn't even realize where we were. Fuck.